Hello, and welcome to On The Box, the geek show's dedicated TV radio show. How is everyone?
I'm fine. It's a bit of an oxymoron to say to say it's a TV radio show.
It's a bit, yeah.
You know, it's a TV show on the radio.
Our radio show about TV.
Yes.
I think that would have been better.
It gets really confusing, confusing though, when we discuss it, you know, outside of actually recording. And we say, oh, yeah, so we're going to do this for the TV show. And I'm like, no, we don't do a TV show. We're not on the TV.
That works every time you speak to somebody and tell them about what you do.
I do a TV show.
Yes, I do a TV show.
Really?
On the radio.
You're on the telly?
It is a weird one. So, I need to do this for the TV show. Wait, you're on TV? No, I haven't gotten to that stage in my life yet.
No. I am on the community channel.
That doesn't make it sound worse.
No. Propeller. Yes. Propeller. I'm on Propeller. You know, it's TV we import from China.
Yay.
Well, it's really good.
Well, at least we had an opening talking segment, so shall we?
Yes. I'm okay. I don't know how anyone else is. I suppose I'm the only important person. Now, how is everyone today?
Good.
I'm quite good.
That was a lot of hesitation there.
No, well, it's the chair. He's wondering if he's still got chairs at home.
He's confused by their strange scientific magics.
Yes.
Well, at least he's not wondering whether he fancies a cornetto.
You're not going to leave that one down, Andy.
Well, right, give it a month, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll just do something else.
What kind of creepy weirdo?
I'm not the one who goes looking at, I'm not the one who goes looking for creepy weirdos on the internet, am I? I thought we established this last week. Right, okay. Yeah. News. Talking about creepy weirdos, Idris Elba.
No.
You're just like calling that to his face.
I know, I'd get punched. Sorry, Idris. We love you, really. And you're not a creepy weirdo. But he has he's broken the flying mile record for his new TV series, which is called, was it No Limits? Yeah. Idris Elba, No Limits.
So I guess we just spoiled the end of that then.
Yes. He's reached a speed of 180.361 miles on at Pendine Sands, and the original record was about 175 miles, wasn't it? So it's been 174.8 miles, and it was set nearly 90 years ago. In a Napier Campbell Bluebird vehicle. Elba drove a Bentley Continental GT Speed, with his record being verified by the UK Timing Association.
That's quite interesting when you think about something as big as something like that Bentley and doing something like that, you know, a car that was specially designed and built to break the speed record and doing it better.
Yeah, we can now just do that in just a normal kind of high-end sports car.
Yeah,
but you're not going to do it in like a Vauxhall Nova, are you?
No, you'd have to seriously upgrade
not
that.
Do it in a Vauxhall Nova.
Considering they don't even make Vauxhall Novas now.
But you have to think, though, what did the, like, 90 years ago when it was set before?
Yeah.
What did they break it in there? It must have been a lot harder than 90 years ago.
It looked like a racing car type car.
Yeah.
Just looks like a bullet with wheels.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. If you remember the looks of the old Bluebird cars, I mean, they did actually essentially look like bullets on wheels. I mean, they essentially were. That was the thing.
Yeah. The thing is, it does kind of cement his credentials as a potential future presenter for Top Gear.
Now, that would be... Imagine that, just putting on BBC and seeing Heimdall presenting Top Gear.
They know what we did. They know what I just did. Go for it, guys.
Right. In other news, we got Top Gear presenting more rumours again. This was because it was overheard by the co-creator Andy Willman in a conversation.
So this is a rumour with a lot more credence.
So this has got a lot more credibility to it. The three new presenters, two of them are Geordie Kidd and Philip Glenister.
Yes.
And Guy Martin.
And Guy Martin, yeah.
Which one's Guy Martin? Is he the guy who does the motorbike stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting addition to Top Gear, because they always looked down on motorbikes.
Well, mainly Jeremy Clarkson. I mean, Hammond and me, they're always happy with the motorbikes, but Jeremy Clarkson, he was just...
Because he yelled the loudest, it was his opinion that got through the most.
I really want Guy Martin to be sitting in Jeremy Clarkson's seat.
No, I think Jodie Kidd should have Jeremy Clarkson's
well,
seat.
Well, it says they've all been... they all have the experience.
Let's put it this way. Jodie Kidd does the classic car show.
Mm. Yeah.
And she's been really good on the classic car show. And historically, when she's been on Top Gear,
she's been really good.
She's been brilliant on Top Gear as well. Because
She
knows her stuff. She knows her stuff about cars. She's a complete petrol head. And she has also been consistently one of the fastest people around the track.
That's true.
Which means, you know, which means she's already got that credit.
Yeah.
She's also a favourite on Top Gear. The fans actually like her.
That's true.
You know,
All three of them as well.
Well, Philip Glenister does, you know, For the Love of Cars, where he takes an old car and restores it and then sells it.
And, like I've said before on the show, he does come across as more relatable. I mean, when you see him get in the car and you see him actually have the kind of sensation and joy you'd have from driving your dream car that any of us would have.
That being said, I so hope he just does the entire show just as Gene Hunt.
Oh, that would be quite something.
But the thing is, though, when you're looking at this, this sounds like they're going to try a reboot of the show and bring it more to its motoring roots.
I kind of think they'd have to, because that's the thing. As much as I kind of enjoyed the previous format, it did kind of get away from what it was at its roots.
Not really, because Top Gear at its roots was actually quite boring. Clarkson did Clarkson's changes and the changes the other producers made over the years. They renovated it, revamped it, and made it better.
Yeah,
you know. And at the end of the day, that was the important thing.
That's true. Mm. I think I'd be happy to see them use things like supercars and sports cars and kind of say, oh, this is the kind of car we would love to have. But if they have the more kind of
Top Gear
cars can go for.
Yeah, but the thing is, Top Gear has always been, for a long time, more about the dream of what you could have rather than the dream of what you have. And that's one of the reasons why they focused on the supercars and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very, 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 I think there's only maybe one other show in the world that has the kind of motoring clout that Top Gear has. I mean, you know, it's got its own magazine that people read avidly, you know, and manufacturers pay attention to what Top Gear says vehicles.
That is true.
You know, for them to be able to get like a Bugatti Veyron, Super Sport even.
You know. Give it to Jeremy Clarkson.
They gave it to Captain Slaw.
Now, that was quite an interesting episode when you see him get as much out of it as they could from that car.
And for about 6 minutes, he was the fastest man in the world in a production car
That was hilarious.
This is the thing. When you talk about Top Gear with Clarkson, May and Hammond, right, you remember some amazingly good moments.
Yeah, I think
some amazingly entertaining moments.
Yeah.
And if they can't see, I think the main issue that they're going to have with Top Gear is, are they going to try and recapture that? Because I don't think they should. I think that should just remain Clarkson, May, Hammond. That era should just remain as Clarkson, May, Hammond. They shouldn't try and copy that.
No.
If you try and go down that route, then it's only going to draw comparisons to how it was.
Yeah, I think they need to basically take a look at what Top Gear is. Keep the entertaining side as much as they can.
Mm.
You know, keep the fun side as much as they can.
Yeah. Keep the specials, I think.
The specials. The specials are always interesting, but I think that what they need to try and do is do it differently now. You know, change the format, change their approach, make it so that even though there are going to be comparisons drawn, that those comparisons are, you know, you know, any kind of criticism in terms of those comparisons can be minimized by saying, well, hang on, they did it this way. We're not doing it this way. We're doing it this way instead now.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think just by virtue of having Jodie Kidd, that's at least going to change it from just like three lads messing about type stuff.
Well, it'll change the audience dynamic a lot just having Jodie Kidd on, because you'll have a lot more women interested in it, a lot more young women. Because I'm sorry, Jodie Kidd is a petrol head, right?
Yep.
And she's attractive, so she's going to attract a lot of male viewers.
Yep.
But she's also a former supermodel.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and just by virtue of the fact that she is a woman, she will attract the female audience as well. Yeah. And if they give her the main presenter chair, which I really think they should, I think she is...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In terms of candidates for Jeremy Clarkson's seat, I would put Jodie Kidd at the top of the list easily. And remember when we were discussing this the other week, and I immediately said Jodie Kidd?
Yeah, that's right, you did.
Jodie Kidd has always been my first choice to replace Clarkson, not because she is like the female version of Clarkson, because she's not.
No.
But basically because of her skills as a presenter, her knowledge of cars, and just that she likes to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, she's not afraid of, you know, the commentary side of things.
No,
she's
that's
not afraid
true.
Of voicing her opinion.
That's true. That much
and,
is true.
You know, I think that whoever is going to be in the main seat on Top Gear needs to be like that.
Yeah.
Because, like it or not, the reputation is there. Top Gear has a reputation for speaking its mind.
That was always a good thing. And it was unfortunate that
not always a good thing. Argentina.
No, that's true. Okay. Now, I remind you. I meant to say that was often a good thing. But yeah, you could bring Argentina,
also
Mexico,
America.
A lot of
Bible belts. Red
yes.
Mexico.
When they were that was chased. That was a hell of a special, though, when they were in America driving through the Bible belt with those messages on their cars.
Yeah.
That was quite...
It's good to watch, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it also says a lot about what BBC's happy to do with their presenters. Happy to put them in the line of fire, especially when they're just car nuts.
Well, yeah.
They'll probably just say they're retiring soon anyway. Let's just put them in the most...
Don't worry, Jeremy. If anything happens to you in Texas, we'll give you a Viking funeral. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yes, we can do. We can do, yeah.
What's next in the news?
Shall we talk about Red Dwarf?
Yes. Yes, I think we should do.
Go on, then.
Do you want to take this one anyway?
I'm happy to do this. Craig Charles has quit his job at Corrie, which he's done for the past 10 years, I think. And
has it been
that long?
Been 10,
I think
yeah.
it has been, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, how are they sending him off? Is it going to be a Viking funeral?
should that be the name of the episode, Viking Funeral?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, send him off in a burning ship made of wood with a dragon on the front.
should have
at the end have all the coronation cast, you know, with swords and shields and the swords bashing against the shields and going, to Valhalla. Am I just thinking of the wrong show? Am I thinking of Vikings?
No, possibly. We can talk about that.
Have I just got my wires crossed and I've been watching Vikings and thinking it was Coronation Street?
Well, that's quite...
It's quite a close comparison.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah. But, should he just be on, like, a Viking ship with a massive light bulb at the back? Because, of course, he has quit to do two more series of Red Dwarf.
And that's quit as well, not, like...
Yeah, not like taking
few months
time out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Well,
I'm not sure. I want more Red Dwarf.
Two series of Red Dwarf.
Yeah, for 2016, 2017.
But this could mean that why would you commission two series? There must be an ending in mind.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you regularly have the American CEOs commissioning multiple series at a time, so I think Big Bang Theories normally commission three series at a time, and I think others have done in the same vein. So I don't know. I mean, I think they're just thinking a couple of years ahead. They might have an ending in mind. Mm. Not sure.
But it could just be that they're confident about how it's going to do.
Well, I think the repeats have always done really well on Dave. Back to Earth, that did quite well as well, and so did the 10th season.
I know people like the 10th season. It was all right.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's lost that spark that it had originally.
Well, the thing is, Red Dwarf is one of those shows that was very much a product of its time.
Yeah.
You know, and now we live in a different age, so what works then isn't going to work now. A lot of people who watch Red Dwarf these days watch it for the nostalgia factor. You know, this whole thing. I mean, do you remember that episode where Lister and Rimmer are stranded and they have to? And then there's the joke about the dog food and the pot.
That was a brilliant episode.
Yes. But the thing is, everybody at the time, you got it. But now you just kind of, yeah, okay, it's a, you know, he's making a joke about pot noodle, but you know, pot noodles aren't that bad.
No.
Nutritionally, you know.
Yeah.
And
you turn a pot noodle into
and I know people who've tested dog food and have actually said that pot noodle was better.
Yeah. So. That's it. I mean, I know our other Rob in the studio said that he was quite looking forward to Red Dwarf. And although I haven't actually watched the 10th season, I might give it a watch because...
I think you should be. Yeah. The 10th
season was... If you're a fan of the series, it was a good...
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the series, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to recommend the 10th series, and it was better than the 9th series, let's put it that way.
I definitely think that it all depends...
I don't think anyone wants to acknowledge the 9th series.
No, let's forget about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I had the 9th season,
I actually liked the 8th series as well. I liked all the series.
I don't know, Red Dwarf was a joy to watch when it first started, and the first four or five series were superb, brilliant British comedy. But I think it suffered from the same thing that happens with long running comedy shows. It started to become stale.
What about the episode in the 6th series that won an award?
That was the
Gunmen of the
Western one. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a good one.
Brilliant.
Aye.
Yeah, but I think series 6 is when it started getting a bit more inconsistent. Mm. So there were really good episodes, but then there were some that were a bit iffy.
Like series 7 as well, where because they did it different, it's always with like the core fans, it's always looked negatively, isn't it? But Tika to Ride, which is the first episode where with the gunman.
Yeah.
I thought that was a brilliant episode.
I think for me, my dad was the one that told me about this in the first place, and he's really excited. And the simple reason is because it's Red Dwarf. More Red Dwarf, he says, always a good thing. And
I don't actually mind more Red Dwarf, don't get me wrong. But my main, as I said, my main concern with Red Dwarf is that it won't be the same, and it'll ruin... my memories of one of my favourite comedies.
Plus, I feel like it's not going to attract really any new fans because we don't have that sort of kitschy sci-fi type stuff that's getting sent up anymore.
It's not just that. I mean, one of the brilliant things about Red Dwarf, about the original series of Red Dwarf, and I watched the 10th series and I thought, it's all a bit too high techy.
Yeah,
it's all a bit too neat, and you know Starbug was basically a junk bit. Red Dwarf was falling to pieces.
The whole point of it was just how cheap and tacky
make the new
was.
Series.
Yeah,
but you do use the exact same technology as you used for the old series.
Yeah,
see if they did that. I think that would add to it because that was part of the charm of the original Red Dwarf series. I mean, Red Dwarf itself, the ship, right, had been around for so long, cats had evolved
into
humanoid creatures and then left.
Yeah.
Right? Looking for Fu Shao.
Yeah. Oh.
And the great god Cloyster.
Ah,
and all that was left were a cripple and an idiot who mated and gave birth to cat.
Yes. Oh dear.
But you've got you've got your loopholes that were brilliant in as well. Even in the new series, they were brilliant to see. Like, for example, the first episode of the new series, the Stairmaster.
Yeah,
he's
but
on the phone for the full episode.
The thing is, the Stairmaster was great, but you won't get episodes like, in the 10th series, I noticed this, they've toned it down quite a lot. You just don't get episodes like Ouroboros. Or when they find the box, and it says "Our Rob or Ross."
Oh yes,
and it turns out It turns out Lister is actually his own dad.
Oh, that was
that was so messed up.
That's what I mean.
What about Crichton TV?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when Crichton becomes human, and he's just making making the comment that his nipples, his right nipple controlled what was it, the temperature, and his left nipple used to pick up Jazz FM.
This is definitely something that is going to divide opinion between, of course, the hard, the rock hard lovers of Red Dwarf and those who just watch it for a laugh. I mean, I think, because my dad was a big fan of Red Dwarf. It's something he watched when he was my age. And I think for those kind of people, it will draw them in. I'm just hoping it does keep them in, because, you know, as long as they get the right people in to do it and the right writers and the people that had the same kind of vision back in the 80s.
Well, you're talking about, you know, Rob Grant and Doug Naylor. Getting them on board is, you know, if they get them on board, then there's hope for it.
Yes.
But, you know, the only advice I can give to whoever is going to write this is really don't be a smeeky.
And give us an ending to Series 8, please. I really want to know what happens.
Oh, yeah, that's a point.
I know it got close to the end of Series 10.
So technically, since there's no ending to Series 8, we're still in Series 8.
Oh, right, okay.
He is. At the end of the last series, they got on to tell you about what happened, but...
No, that's what I mean. We're technically still in Series 8 then.
Yes.
Okay, so you heard it here first.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on. Shall we? I believe we have one last news story, which is all about
Torchwood.
Another sci-fi series. Yeah, Torchwood.
Funny, that's coming back, but not as a TV drama, as an audio drama.
Yeah, John Barrowman's going to reprise his role as Jack Harkness. In the first of six adventures to be released from September onwards. And it's called Torchwood, The Conspiracy, written by David Llewellyn. Now, I'm not too sure what you guys think. Do you guys like Torchwood or not?
Yes.
It depends. Like, the first series was okay, then the second series was good, then Children of Earth was amazing.
Or Children of Earth was just... I think Children of Earth is that little mini series ranks among the best British sci-fi I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, definitely. And then we had the series after that,
Miracle Day, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Miracle Day.
Now I actually
that wasn't good.
No, I kind of enjoyed Miracle Day.
No, involving the Americans was not a good idea.
I don't know. I mean,
the Americans ruin British sci-fi. We know this. Anytime you put an American into a British sci-fi thing, it begins to get ruined. And you can't. Thing is, I know people say, "Oh, John Barrowman's American." He's not.
No, yeah, he's not.
He's Scottish.
Exactly.
He just puts on an American accent for the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think that is the accent he tends to talk with a lot, because, like, he has American citizenship.
Yeah.
But no, it's not. He was born in Scotland. He's one of ours.
Yes,
you can't
one
have
of us. One of us.
This was a spin-off of Doctor Who, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes,
it was.
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
Well, I mean, he wasn't originally immortal. He was just a normal guy. But he became what's known as, what in Doctor Who terms, is called a fixed point in time, which basically made him immortal. And he became that because of Rose Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she, like, absorbed the power of the TARDIS. It was like, oh, no, you're not dead anymore because I say so.
Yeah, she was basically just God at that point. Mm. So, yeah, he became a fixed point in time, which kind of ruined his life. But there was that whole thing. See, this was when I actually enjoyed Doctor Who. You know, the whole thing with the face of Bohr.
Yes, you know, that was really good.
The way they just did that as a throwaway thing.
It was so casual.
You know, when I was a model in the Bohshank Peninsula, they used to call me the face of Bohr.
Yes.
You know, it was like, oh my God.
You could become this giant, wrinkly, massive face thing in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, I love the bit where, because whenever the Doctor met the face of Bohr, especially at the end, you know, was calling him old friend. The Doctor's like, well, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know, how do I know you? He's like, you know. And then that little throwaway line, he just explained everything.
And I do like how they just did it as a throwaway line. It was so well done. And
yeah. But the thing is, I think Jack Harkness is an interesting character.
Yeah.
But Miracle Day, I don't think it worked with Miracle Day. Because it was too focused on the rest of Torchwood, you know, and it was too and Jack Harkness, I think the problem wasn't it his blood that they needed?
Yeah,
it was, yeah.
Like,
but the thing is, his blood is just normal blood. You know, you take it out of his body and it becomes normal.
Yeah, because it's got nothing to do with him. It's just there was this time stuff that made him immortal.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was the one kind
technically,
of...
he should... technically, the thing is, he's a fixed point in time, right?
Mm.
So technically, you can't even pierce his skin. This is the thing. This is one of those timey-wimey things, right? If you freeze time... I threw a knife at Owen, right? And then Andy froze time, right?
As he does from time to time.
Yeah, as he does from time to time. And then Andy... tried to move Owen or the knife out of the way, right? He couldn't. Do you know why? Because he would be trying. It would be the same as trying to move the entire universe.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Do you see what I mean? So yeah. Technically, Jack, in Miracle Day, Jack could have stood there with his hands on his hips like a goddamn Superman. Yeah. And gone, your bullets cannot touch me. Your explosions won't touch me. Technically, he should be a fly.
Yeah.
Oh, walk on air, anyway. He's a fixed point in time. He does whatever the hell he wants.
So if you've ever had a pocket watch and think...
that would be an interesting, like, next series of Torchwood. Yeah. Just him finding out all these crazy things he can technically do.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you go by the laws of physics, then he technically is, you know, not only is he immortal, he's the only person who can hurt himself. Seriously, you can't take another fixed point in time and make it hinge another fixed point in time, because the two... you can't merge them.
No.
Because they're fixed points from different times, if that makes sense.
It does. It does kind of work.
We're getting very technical here.
I didn't think I'd have to revise for this show.
Physics! Technology! Yes, if it's physics or technology, call Andy.
Surely we should have another show for that.
No, we may do in the future. Anyway, yes, Torchwood is coming back for an audio thingy.
I think as long as audio show, which is like what we are doing, so...
Yes. Anyway, we're going to move on. Right, guys, what have you guys been watching?
Well, does anyone else want to start, or should I just jump right on it?
No, go right ahead.
Well, continuing on with when I was last on the show, I've still been watching For the Love of Cars.
For the Love of Cars?
Yes.
What, still?
Yeah.
Are you still on the same episode?
No, I'm moved on in the series.
He really doesn't want to know how it ends.
Yes. No, he just loves Philip Gladister so much. You know, when he's on screen, they got the close-up, he just has to pause it and go,
no,
oh, I love you so much, Philip Gladister.
It's about the cars.
Okay.
I have respect for the guy, that's all it is.
All right, okay.
Anyway. Now, this, because they've been doing British cars for the first couple of episodes, but, I mean, the last episode was a police Rover SD1, which I thought was a fantastic episode. Kind of brings you back to those kind of days where, you know, police kind of realised that they had to do more to fight crime, especially the kind of road wars that they were going through at the time. So they bring in a Rover that looks like a Ferrari Daytona, which, you know, a smart move. This time, they kind of... They stayed British, but they didn't. They went for the sort of European hot hatches, which made a massive imprint on British culture.
Yeah.
So I think they brought a couple in, but I think the most iconic one they did had to be the Mark 1 Golf GTI.
Ooh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Definitely. It was definitely one of those cars that changed Britain in such a way. I mean, it brought sort of... affordable cars back, well, to the kind of younger people, and you could have something like that it was small, easy, small, nimble, and had with a GTI version, it had a good engine that you could actually have a bit of fun with it. So, and even these days, things like the hot hatches, they're still a big part of that kind of culture, especially with the younger people. And with this one, they got it from a guy that built rally cars. And so the idea was, well, they would continue on with his dream and kind of make it the way they think he would like it, as a sort of rally car, which they do. And like I said, the way it ends, it's such a fantastic ending to the episode. It kind of ends the way it should be, sort of the way it should. They sell the car, but they kind of don't. It's fantastic.
Okay, cool.
Mm. Yeah.
What about you guys?
A new series of what I've been watching has just started, and... It's 8 out of 10 cats does Countdown.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh, yeah.
I actually have a soft spot for 8 out of 10 cats.
Yeah. 8 out of countdown.
But only for the countdown version. Cause,
yeah, it's a lot better than the actual 8 out of 10 cats show.
I think so. They did a show as well. I mean, they did Deal on Ordeal a few years back as well.
Yeah, they did, done.
Yeah. It didn't quite work. I think when they do Countdown, it works better.
Yeah.
It's like, I prefer this, Adam as well.
Yeah, I think it works because it's just such, like, the elderly sort of traditional tea time.
Yeah.
Very acceptable show. I mean, and they're just coming in and making it so inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, you can always rely on Sean Locke to do something odd.
Yes. I mean, it only came around because Channel 4 did the show mashup, and it proved so popular they had to commission it for a series.
Well, they've done... Well, it's gone by show wins here. It doesn't say how many episodes it actually is, but 10 for Sean's team and 24 for John's team.
So yeah, that's, I'm not that surprised.
There's been 34 shows on
it. Yes.
Yeah.
Although, unfortunately, on the most recent episode, it wasn't... You didn't have John Richardson.
It was Sarah Milligan, wasn't it?
But she still did a good job. It was still...
I think you just... Yeah, it's his guest captain, so I'm guessing he's coming back.
Oh, he'll have to, definitely. As far as I know, he hasn't left 8 out of 10 cats.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think that they addressed it on the show. I can't remember why exactly, but they just said he was busy that week.
Mm. What about
maybe something to do with his wedding?
Yeah, that's still getting a lot of people. Yeah.
What about Joe Wilkinson, though, as well, on it? He comes on and...
I wasn't a big fan of him in the show, I must admit. And he was funny, like, but I don't know, I feel like there wasn't really much point to him being there other than just giving Joe Wilkinson a steady paycheck. I like him, he's a funny guy. He kind of does a sort of more almost relatable comedy, but...
It's kind of like really oddball stuff, but done in a relatable manner.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
And he's Andy's half-cousin.
Ah, Fabio. Yeah, Fabio. Fabio's...
I think it's brilliant. I do.
Yeah, Fabio's more into the works of 8 out of 10 casters. Countdown, they can't get rid of him.
Sorry, it's just whenever someone says Fabio, I'm immediately thinking of all the comedy Fabios. With the hair and the tan... And the white shirt that's open halfway down so he can expose his hairy chest. Fabio.
It's quite bad, though, when this show is doing better than the 8 out of 10 cats original show as
well. I don't, because I think people like that kind of interesting format, that it's sort of something you kind of watch as during the day. Like, it's sort of an old-person format with the young-person element to it. It is an interesting one because they do it so funny. Mm. And I do like that, it is Jimmy Carr Horson, but they still keep Rachel Riley in the work, so technically she's doing two jobs.
Plus, I feel like they have a better selection of guest stars on Countdown.
Yes, definitely. I think the recent one was Nina Conti.
Yeah.
Ventriloquist. Yeah. She was really funny.
She's a unique
character. Mm.
Didn't they have Keith Harris on before he passed away?
I think they did, yeah.
With Orville.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
That's tragic. But yeah.
Anyway, yes. Moving on.
Yes, my
Andrew.
Turn.
Andrew.
I have been watching Inspector George Gently because that started back up last Wednesday.
Ooh. Is it any good? I keep seeing George Gently on TV, but I've never actually sat down and watched an episode.
Okay. It's kind of one of those things I'm going to have to explain a lot because the series itself is really good. It's like it's this really dark detective drama, kind of looking into just basically how insanely corrupt the police were in like the 1960s.
Ah, yeah. It is set in the 1960s, isn't it?
Yeah. So like last week's episode, it was pretty brutal because it was just showing like just the sheer casual disregard they had for like rape cases and just like how a woman would come in and, like, literally, they would laugh at her because they just assumed she was making it all up.
Yeah. So it was kind of... how does George Gently fit in? Is he kind of...
Yeah, basically, George Gently, he is, like, the one guy. He is the straight-laced guy. He's like, no, I'm not going to go in for all this corruption.
It's ironic because there's parallels with Gotham.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah, it is basically, like, good Gotham.
No, it's British Gotham.
Yes.
Which, same thing, really.
Yeah.
Well, that's debatable, but anyway.
Anyway, but I think, as I was saying, George, because he is like that one straight-laced police, I think that is the problem with the show, is that he's really boring. Because like just everything, he is always right. He is always just the moral standard by which everyone wants to be.
Yeah, but I think if they did an episode, if they did a series where he was the corrupt one, I don't think it would last long. I think it was like...
Well, no, he doesn't need to be corrupt. He just needs to have some sort of flaw that makes him a relatable character.
Right, aye.
What, Judge Gently?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why Moss was so popular was because he did have flaws.
Yeah.
You know, John Thor played Moss really, really well. And, you know, because he had flaws, I mean, he had problems with his family life. You know, he had problems with his marriage.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't a perfect guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the same with David Jason when he did A Touch of Frost.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I always loved the Poirot episodes where he was out in the country. I always loved them episodes. Always complaining.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, the things like this, like the kind of old-fashioned, well, not so much old-fashioned, but these kind of detective shows, they're kind of dying out.
Mm. Well, not really. I mean, I'm sorry, but Midsommar Murders is still a thing.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right,
that,
yeah.
That's just still chugging along.
It's still populated
as well, that town.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and I'm amazed that it actually has a population. I'm sorry, but... If that was a real place...
Yeah, I would move out.
Yeah, nobody would live there.
Well, I think it was the policeman, for one.
No, there'd be three people living in Midsommar. There'd be the detective from the show. There'd be somebody who was about to get murdered, and there would be the murderer.
But surely his wife would still be there as well.
No. She's long gone.
Oh, right.
She disappeared with the plumber when she found out her husband was a murderer.
I'm sure I would have thought that would have been interesting. The only other person that could have been the murderer would be him or the wife.
No. He's not killing the wife. He's killing his business partner.
Fair enough.
You know,
oh, of course, yes.
The wife's already away with the plumber. You know, he came to fix the pipes and fix more than that.
Oh, well, clearly not, because he couldn't fix the marriage.
No. He fixed the pipes.
See, my theory has always been that, like, just housing prices in Midsommar are just insanely low.
Yes,
like it's got a high murder rate, but look how cheap these mansions are.
You can buy this street for 50 pence. Where else are you going to get a deal like that? I would buy them like that in a heartbeat, because, you know, one thing, once you get rid of the entire population, you basically then remove the police force, bring in a new police force and a new population who aren't all psychos. And then you have a normal functioning town, and then everybody pays you rent because you own all the houses.
Oh, you've really thought this through. That's a bit worrying. But
evil. I thought.
Yes, that's quite evil.
Apparently, I have been told that I have all the qualifications to be a supervillain.
Because you do. Because literally, you. But no, I really want the last episode of Midsommar Murders. Just like you come out from behind. Everything has gone to plan.
The main detective goes, he suddenly just rips his face off, and it's me going, ha 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 ha. It's all part of my cunning plan.
I just sat there on a spinning chair, stroking a cat.
No. So passe. Come on, be stylish, you know. You got to go for the Scooby-Doo ending. But not with the pesky kids ripping the face off. I'm sorry, that was horrible as well. I'm sorry, but how do you end a show by... every single week, they ended the show by ripping someone's face off.
Quite often it was also old
they
man.
They just like had a collection of faces in the back of the mystery machine.
Yeah, they're all psychos, seriously. I mean, they think that a dog can talk.
Two dogs can talk. Scrappy as well.
We don't acknowledge the existence of Scrappy-Doo. Scrappy-Doo does not exist.
No.
He's a figment of your imagination.
Scrappy who?
Exactly.
So, guys, we finally captured the ghost of the Bumbling Woods. Hand me the knife.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Actually, there was one last thing I want to say about George Gently is I think there's like a much more interesting show like hidden within it. You could get just by like shifting the main character along just slightly.
He needs to show a bit of personality.
No, but basically what he has is he's got this assistant called John, who's like, he's a guy who really wants to be like a good by the books copper, but like he's had to grow up through this like really terrible corrupt system.
Yeah.
And so that's given him like certain ways of thinking about things that he has to get over.
What do you think of
I think he would be a much better main character.
Maybe a spin-off in the future?
Possibly, because what I keep expecting is that one of these series, they are going to pull, like, a Morse and just, like, maybe kill George Gently off. like bump him up to the main character. And I think that'll be much more interesting, like having, like watch him overcome all these inbuilt prejudices to like get to the truth about things.
Yeah.
Mm.
Plus, it would let him go because at the moment he always has to be in the wrong, just so George gently can come in and be, no, actually, the killer was this guy.
I don't like the secondary characters that are always in the wrong. I think it's not so much a bit lazy, but kind of they're just betraying that character for the sake of the main character.
Yeah,
it's almost
like
they're portraying
they're
the actor. Yeah, they're kind of portraying the actor as well, just because they've got a slightly more famous actor as the main character.
Mm.
Like, I don't even think it's like slightly more famous, because like, it's Martin Shaw and Lee Ingleby, and I would say they're about on a par fame-wise. Nah,
that's true.
Hmm.
I've got a quick question. I don't know if we'd have time to do that.
Well, it's my turn to talk about what I've been watching.
I do apologise.
Nobody's letting me talk about what I've been watching.
You can cut that out.
Oh, you're just the victim here, Rob.
Yes, I am the victim here. Do you see how the supervillain thing works?
Yes.
I am the victim. I'm the plaintiff. You've got to pay me compensation and give me your home.
So what have I been
doing? Just save the cattle for your home alone.
You can have my crappy student flat.
Nah. Anyway, I've just started watching Orphan Black.
Yes!
Right. A friend of mine, she sang its praises, and I thought, okay, I must give this a try. And you know what? It got me.
It's
right
so
from
good.
Episode one, it got me. It really is. See, the thing is, you look at it and you think, Orphan Black, she sees the suicide of somebody who looks like her. I don't see where the story's going. But then you find out that, there's not just one person who looks like her. This is like doppelgangers gone wrong. there's several. And the brilliant thing is, Tatiana Maslany?
Yeah, Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah, she is superb.
Yes,
because she doesn't just
play all these different roles.
Yeah, she doesn't just play one role. She plays like multiple characters. You remember those Eddie Murphy movies where he plays several characters?
Oh yeah,
Professor. Norbert has actually made it into this.
Yes, Norbert made it into this.
No.
But I was actually thinking more of Coming to America.
No, it's too late. We've got Norbert.
That's your fault.
What about the clumps? Nutty Professor 2, we did it.
No. Not the Nutty Professor, not Norbert. We're going to stick with Coming to America because it's the only time that I've actually seen Eddie Murphy playing a white guy.
Okay.
He was one of the guys in the barbershop, wasn't he?
Wasn't he
white guys in the barbershop? If I remember rightly. But he did play the reverend. And I remember from Saturday Night Live, he actually did white up, I should say.
Yes, I definitely remember seeing him in white up at some point.
Yeah, he whited up and he was on the bus and it's like, white people act differently when black people aren't around. I mean, he's very much a product of the 80s, that's those Saturday Night Live sketches. But yeah. Tatiana Maslany is better than Eddie Murphy ever could be on the acting in multiple roles. Brilliant, brilliant series. I love the thriller element to it. It's really taut.
How far into it are you?
I'm two episodes in.
Oh, you haven't met Helena yet then?
No, not yet.
You are in for a treat then.
So, yeah. Andrew knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, I'm actually just like, I've just got the DVDs for series two, and it makes me so happy.
It's a really, really good series, and I think more people deserve to watch this show.
It's literally one of the best TV shows that no one watches.
Yeah, it's seriously underrated. I mean, I was having a look online for stuff about Orphan Black because I thought it was so good. And just the number of people who, because of Game of Thrones and all of these other TV shows, and they're like, oh, Game of Thrones, and, Supernatural, and, Outlander, Vikings, Arrow, Daredevil, The Flash, and in amongst all of that, it's just gone lost. The other show that I've been watching, because I've actually been watching two, and I didn't know this was already out, but Powers.
All right.
Which is a superhero TV show.
I've heard mixed things about that.
It's actually not as bad as people have made out, but it's the concept that I like more than,
Yeah, like where they're detectives in a world of superheroes.
Yes, exactly. You know, and it's superhero crime that they're monitoring.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, what was that? We're going to move on to our main discussion point for the week, which, following on from last week's British comedy.
Mm-mm.
This week we're talking about American comedy comedy yes. TV shows, but you know we're going to leave the panel shows for next week. You know, so we're not going to be talking about panel shows. But
yeah, because that's a whole thing in
itself. Yeah, that's a whole thing in its own. But this week we're going to be taking a look at the American comedy shows, things like Friends and you know Frasier, Cheers, The Big Bang Theory, stuff like that.
King of Queens. Mm.
King of Queens, Baby Daddy. I mean, the list goes on.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly long children. List.
Mm. Yeah.
Because initially, when we said American comedy, I thought there isn't that much, but like then once you get to about, there's actually loads of stuff.
Yeah, so much to talk.
The thing is, there's, when you say American comedy sitcoms, there's what you'd like the... It's the all-ages sitcoms as well. You've got like sitcoms which are aimed at teenagers, sitcoms that are aimed at...
The older, yeah. Mm.
I mean, Saved by the Bell was one of those ones from when people are kids. But you've got, you know, you've got... Just to go through a few of them, right? Friends, Community, Parks and Recreation, The Simpsons, obviously.
Although before, I've just had a thing. Zach from Saved by the Bell could stop time. Is Zach from Saved by the Bell at this point in time?
Possibly. We don't know. But yeah, Arrested Development, Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother, 30 Rock, which... I've never seen a Baldwin brother in a better acting role.
Yes, I'll give you that much.
Alec Baldwin, he was born to play Jack Donaghy.
Yes.
That was really good.
Modern Family, Orange is the New Black, Seinfeld, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, South Park, obviously, Cheers, Frasier, Silicon Valley, Scrubs, Family Guy, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm, New Girl.
Malcolm in the Middle?
Everybody Loves Raymond, Malcolm in the Middle. Futurama, MASH, Archer, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I'm watching at the moment, and it's really good.
It's one of those things I've been meaning to get around to.
It's really good. It's worth watching.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
American Dad, Bob's Burgers, The Cosby Show.
Home Improvement.
Yeah, Home Improvement.
Have you said That 90s Show?
That 90s Show and That 80s Show. There was That 70s Show, and was it That 80s Show after?
I think there
after,
was, yeah.
And then That 90s Show. Two and a Half Men, Married with Children, as you said, Andy, King of the Hill, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Portlandia, All in the Family, Becca.
So is this just naming a few?
This is just like, all I've done is go to Google and say US comedy series, Full House.
Modern Family is the top one on IMDb as well.
You said The Simpsons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about
just a huge mass of US comedy, yeah. But not all of it hits, you know, over here in the UK.
No, because I think over here we could only name a few. I mean, definitely Home Improvement, King of Queens, Malcolm in the Middle, Modern Family, definitely Simpsons, Family Guy, American Dad. Mm. And that's, I think. I don't think we'd have enough space for all them different ones, even with our expanded channels with Sky.
So I feel like it means a lot of really great stuff.
Doesn't
get the attention it deserves.
Netflix and other
I just want to clarify one point. Okay, see, when we talk about a comedy series right here in the UK, we talk about a series where you can see where the jokes are and you will get either real audience laughter or canned laughter.
Yeah.
Right. But when you talk about a comedy series from America, what often happens is they lump in stuff that isn't a comedy series just because it happens to have a few funny moments. Things like Castle.
Hmm. All right.
Castle is not a comedy series.
A detective series. Yeah,
I never consider that to even be close to a comedy series. Yeah, I had comedic moments, but that was always a detective series for me.
But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
There are comedy shows that are comedy shows where you don't get the canned laughter, stuff like New Girl, where you don't have the canned laughter or the real audience laughter.
Yeah.
But in general, comedy shows are quite clearly comedy shows because they do have the canned laughter.
The comedy is different in America, though. Over here, it's more smart comedy. Where you will get the joke where they don't.
Which
mean
is probably
to say
why Frasier was so popular over here.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. I remember watching Frasier. I think I was about just in my early teens, and I just found it was one of the best shows I've ever watched. Mm. It was fantastic. Well, it was witty.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
The fact it's Kelsey Grammer as well singing that as well. Isn't
yeah,
it?
I know.
And I just, it is a really good show.
Yeah.
Now there's just silence.
We're all just thinking of the theme tune there, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Frasier was a spin-off from Cheers, and
I think it was the most successful spin-off ever made, or something like that.
Yeah. Wasn't it more successful than Cheers?
Well,
actually, yes.
No, I was but
Cheers.
The
thing is, Cheers was still a huge success, and it still gets reruns because it's such a simple idea.
Yeah,
let's just take a pub and just film what goes on.
That was so.
Yeah, and just, I mean, it's such a massive area for comedy.
But the thing is, when you Cheers, because of the time it was made, they put a lot more thought into it. Because the British version of Cheers, I'm sorry, the British version is 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
Unfortunately enough, yes.
Which just goes to show you that we do not do pub comedy better than the Americans.
That is one area where Americans have like just completely outclassed
comedy. In America, though, it's not
wise.
A pub, is it? It's a bar.
Oh,
pub, bar, I don't
care. It's like
Cheers was the kind of place where you could see yourself hanging out.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I would love to have just like got a pint in there one time.
And I'm sorry, but they picked the perfect song for a theme tune.
No, that's true.
Yeah, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Like, there is that one guy there that everybody knows because he's there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you want to go, when you go out, people go to the same pubs all of the time. They, you know, it's this whole idea of being a regular somewhere. You go where people know you, where you can relax, where you can just be yourself. You don't have to put on airs and graces.
Yeah.
And that was the beauty of Cheers. It was the same characters week in, week out.
Definitely, you know,
and that's why it worked.
I think there was like a point in time where you had all those comedies roughly come out at once. I mean, you had Becker as well, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm sorry. How the hell is NCIS a comedy show?
Huh? Yep, I think that's another one.
I'm glad that's brought up because I could actually use that now, because I wouldn't say Frasier is the most successful spin-off. That would definitely be NCIS.
NCIS is the most successful spin-off in history.
But it's
actually
not a comedy.
Yes, it is. I've never seen them try to talk about video games in NCIS.
No.
We must hack this computer. Timothy, you take that side of the keyboard. I'll take this side of the keyboard.
Oh, God, Dad.
Oh, whenever they try to explain technology to Gibbs, he just has that look. I know I don't understand. You should know that, so just do it anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I like about NCIS, though, is because he doesn't actually, he's not interested in learning anything about it.
Just,
you know, they have to dumb it down for him.
Yeah.
And by doing so, they dumb it down for the audience as well.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, they do have the essential comedic characters. I mean, you got Donoso in the original NCIS, who's a very funny character.
Donoso, yeah.
Yeah, you got Deeks in NCIS Los Angeles. He's a very kind of Harlequin sort of character.
Yeah.
I haven't watched New Orleans. So
New Orleans is, you know, it's still finding its feet.
Yeah.
But I think what makes it for me, NCIS, because I do love watching NCIS.
Definitely.
It is one of my favorite shows, more so than CSI and all the others, because you got more action, intrigue, you know, you got the spy elements, stuff like that. But it's the relationship between Donoso and McGee.
Yes.
Can I just say, I think my favourite thing about it is just over the series watching McGee get gradually thinner and just all that fat transfer over to Donoso.
Yeah, I know. It's like osmosis.
Dorian Gray.
The thing is, it actually, Donoso and McGee, the relationship between them, my sister watched NCIS, and she said that relationship reminded her of me and my older brother.
Right.
And the weird thing is, Donoso actually looks a bit like my older brother.
All right.
And McGee, being a geek, he's basically me.
Yes.
You know, only without the glasses, so yeah.
Well then.
Yes, so yeah.
What about Psych then?
Hey.
Oh, wasn't that the one like a guy TV show, it's like, isn't a psychic, but he is a psychic?
Oh, no, that's another kind of cop show.
Mm. Yeah.
He kind of gives the impression that he's psychic, but he...
One of them is and one of them isn't.
Well, another thing is because his friend's a detective.
Is that actually a comedy show, though?
It is.
It,
It's like
I wouldn't know. I mean, well, I would
say
again,
it's lighthearted, but I wouldn't say it's comedy.
See, something like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is purposely setting out to be a police satire. It's set up saying, okay, look, this is about the police, but we're going to make it funny.
Yeah,
we're gonna just basically take as much of the pee as we can, you know, as we can safely get away with without being shot by New York cops.
Yeah, that's true. I think
just some of the stuff they get up to in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you just kind of go, yeah, I can actually see that happening in a police station. I can see them getting up to stuff like that. It's like Scrubs, you know. Scrubs was a comedy that, you know, it was very clever.
Yeah.
And it's what you want to believe all doctors are secretly like.
Well, the thing is, the irony is, they actually did a lot of research for Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
I know several doctors who are real, who actually like Scrubs, because where they would sit there and watch like a movie like The Rock and just start laughing when they were at the whole point where they say, I want you to stick this needle into your heart, like, yeah, that's never going to happen.
Nah.
They would sit there and watch Scrubs and say, you know, the whole internal medicine, they're geeks, and the surgeons are jocks.
Yeah.
That whole relationship, that's actually a thing.
Aye.
You know, surgeons tend to be, you know, when they're in medical school, they tend to be quite the jocks, and the internal medicine guys tend to be the geeks. And I didn't know this until I was watching this with a friend's mother, who's, you know, she's been a doctor for decades, and she said, yeah, I remember that was like the medical school that I was in.
Yeah,
it was exactly
really
like that.
Interesting to know.
Yeah. Well, I think Scrubs, it kind of knew when it was dead. I mean, they tried to resuscitate it with one season, but I think then
Yes,
they tried, but there was no hope, and they called it.
Yes.
In my mind, I still just think that's a spin-off series that doesn't count as like the ninth series of Scrubs.
It's kind of gone into kind of medical school. It has to be a spin-off, just with the same characters.
Can we talk about where a comedy that went on for far too long?
Well, this is the thing. It's one of the things that the American shows are actually guilty of a lot more so than the British ones. Is carrying on for too long.
They have seasons, though, don't they? They don't have series. Usually they're season. They call the season because it lasts for the year. That's by the length of it.
No, but that's usually half a year anyway.
It's half a year, but the thing is, they split it up. They split it up so it's half a year in total for the season.
Yeah.
But it will actually cover two actual seasons. So take Big Bang Theory, for example. It's actually covering season 8 has actually covered a good portion of autumn and winter from 2014 and a good portion of winter and spring 2015.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how it works with them.
I mean, it does kind of annoy me when they do that. I mean, I think one of my favourite shows from America that I have is a show called Suits, which I think
Is that the one about the lawyers?
The lawyers. It's sort of comedic, but
are we talking like Busted Legal type comedy, or are we talking are we talking more like Ally McBeal comedy?
I've never really watched those shows. I've watched Boston Legal before.
Boston Legal had what was it? James Spader and William Shatner.
No, that is already a dream team right there.
Going to an office party dressed as pink flamingos.
Okay, that is already I know what you mean. It's a perfect setup, but it had its elements. But it's one of those problems you can get really get into. And it has a good storyline for the entire season. Then they split it up. It can be a bit annoying, but I like the fact that it means it's lasting sort of a bit longer. But I think
you can pull that off better with more dramatic things than comedy things. Because with comedy, each episode needs to have like a good amount of jokes in it.
I mean, it looks like here, if we do like something like a sitcom, it will last about 6 episodes.
Well, no.
Sometimes.
But then you've got the things like My Family, which just did not stop.
What about Not Going Out?
Not Going Out. Is Not Going Out still going?
Yeah.
Yes and no. It might continue.
Well, I think they could bring someone else, but I think they still want it to continue. But I don't think Lee Mack's going to be acting.
One of the great things about American comedy, right? They had stuff like they've had stuff like Community. I mean, the range of comedy they have in America is far more diverse than the range of comedy we have here in the UK.
Oh yeah,
it ranges from stuff like The Simpsons to, you know, Big Bang Theory to Community to, you know, this new one that they've got coming out called Jane the Virgin.
Yeah,
which it you know, the advert for it is just kind of, okay, right, I get exactly what you're saying, and I've seen Latin American soap operas. I know exactly what this is going to be like, but still, because I know the tropes, you know, it makes it a more interesting watch to me.
Yeah,
I'm not been impressed so far, but there's room for hope.
Mm. But they're still trying to cater to such a wide and diverse fan base with all the different comedies.
They've come up with stuff like That 70s Show. I mean, back during the 80s, they had stuff like Different Strokes.
Yeah.
You know, America has always been trying to find its feet with comedy, and I think that right now they're starting to really excel at comedy. They're basically beating us.
Yeah.
And definitely.
The reason why they're beating us is because we're too fixated on shows like My Family and not going out.
Yeah, just aiming for the lowest common denominator.
Yeah,
we're too fixated on that. And I mean, the IT Crowd, right? The IT Crowd is a brilliant comedy.
Yeah,
yeah. But it was very, very niche comedy. Only a subset of people got the joke.
No, that's true. Yeah.
You know, then you have stuff like The Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, well, that was a fairly groundbreaking.
So niche it hurts.
Yeah, it's so niche it hurts, but it's got massive following.
Yeah,
you know, I think the main problem is that we don't nurture our comedy talent for TV in the same way that America does.
Mm. Well, that's
when we don't. And the thing is, I don't think we encourage it as much as America does either.
No. Mm. That's because I think a lot of the times British comedy it was a particular kind of comedy. I mean, when you think of something like, I don't know, On the Buses.
Yeah.
That was a particular kind of comedy. It was sort of a sexist kind of comedy, which I think, unfortunately, Brit could actually do quite well. Yeah.
But the thing is, you have those kind of things in America.
No, that's true.
I mean, like I said, the main issues with American comedy is they drag it on too long.
Yeah.
I think that How I Met Your Mother, they ended it at the right point. They didn't keep it going.
I think they should have ended it quite a few series before they did.
No, they in terms of the length, you know, in terms of how long it ran for, I think that I agree with you, because there was an episode from ages ago, from several seasons ago, that would have been the perfect ending point for it. But the ending that they did for it, the final episode they did for it, I think that was the a good way to end everything.
There's one show that I think went on far too long. It's Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men, yeah. It went on far too long. And they changed the cast after Charlie Sheen.
I don't think it really... I could see why...
I don't need to explain what happened with Charlie Sheen. I just say after Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yes.
You know, it was the event.
World-defining event.
It's like the difference between BC and AD.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's because
like the small isolated jungle tribes running around screaming.
BC is now
blood.
Before Charlie.
That's true. The thing is, though, I think the problem with me was they tried to keep the sort of chemistry they had by bringing someone to replace Charlie. I think if they focused it on Alan, it might have continued and maybe became a spin-off.
But I honestly think that it picked up a bit when Charlie left. The added a spin on it, which took it for another three or four seasons. I think if Charlie would have stayed, I think it would have stayed dull. I thought it would have.
Okay,
just
using that as a segue point before because we're pretty much at the end of the show. So before we finish, I want you guys to consider something. What about shows like Everybody Loves Raymond? Because that was boring.
It was.
I'm sorry.
It really was.
In amongst all of these gems that we've been, you know, picking out from the American comedy comedy TV shows that are available,
it's not all those.
There are a lot of tedious things. Mm. You know, there's a remarkable number of just Oh my god! I mean, Baby Daddy is so boring it hurts. What was it? What's that one with what's his face?
The thing with the guy in it. Yes,
the
thing
with the guy in it. You know the guy who the guy with the voice and you know.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Is that guy who has hair or the other guy who doesn't have hair?
No, he has hair. He's quite tall and he does voices for Disney. He played Gronk in. I've forgotten his name. Anyway, it's on like E4 and stuff like that.
Now, actually, when you're going by that about them being born, but they could also be quite lazy. I mean, there's one that I'm keeping my eye on, sort of called One Big Happy, which has been accused of just using really obvious lazy comedy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what this show is called. It's on E4. It's something to do with marriage or something like that.
Love and Marriage? Not Married with Kids.
No.
Oh, wait, Rules of Engagement.
Rules of Engagement. That's it.
Oh yes.
Why Gronk? You mean Patrick Warburton, voice of the Tick?
Voice of Gronk as well.
Well, not even voice. Actually, physically the Tick as well.
Yeah, true. He is physically the Tick. But yeah, Patrick Warburton.
Oh god, that is such a bad show.
It is. It's awful. But the thing is, people like it. And I don't understand why. I never understood why people liked Everybody Loves Raymond. And my God, I still do not get Seinfeld. What the hell is Seinfeld. What the hell is that show supposed to be about? Every week was just kind of so boring. And then Kramer opens the door and slides into the room because it's Kramer. He's just kind of, okay. I still don't get what this show is about. Jerry Seinfeld, please go away. Please, I'm begging you.
He has now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Did he just return from his home dimension?
Return to your home planet.
Just stop running reruns, essentially, that's what you're
saying. No, they did. Actually, I take all of what I just said back. Forget Seinfeld has ever existed. I'm going to use the Force now. You will forget Seinfeld.
What was that program about that comedian? What was it called again?
The one with the comedian with the voice and the hair.
Yeah. What was that again? It was a. He has an annoying voice.
Yeah. He has. You know, the voice and the hair and the high forehead. What was it called? Billy Crystal. Was it?
That's it.
Yes. Anyway, we're at the end of the show.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to call time there. Next week we're going to be talking about comedy panel shows, which is going to be an interesting one.
Yes.
Because we can then, you know, take the celebrity squares and take aim at the celebrities in the squares. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some arguments.
Yes, there probably will. But yeah, we have been on the box.
Yes.
Yes.
We've been sat at a table. I'm sorry.
I'm actually sitting on a box. It's just disguised as a chair.
Ah, okay.
Very clever box. Yes.
It's because Andy can't tell the difference. That was not supposed to happen. That was not supposed to happen.
Yes, it was. Everything is planned.
Yes, everything is planned.
Just you don't understand our brilliance.
Now, that is the name for the episode. Everything is planned. It's much better than Viking Funeral.
Ah, Viking Funeral was a good one, though.
But Everything is Planned, that kind of...
Or maybe Andy Loves Chairs.
Can that just be our naming theme? Just Andy Loves. Yes. So obviously we have Andy Loves Cornetto, Andy Loves Chairs.
Right, okay, right. I've been Rob.
And I've been Andy.
I've been Owen.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all next week.
Take care.